Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
With Virgin Mobile. Freedom is calling to brighten up your winter mornings. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
We are well into January now, but for some of us, it's really time to put down the leftover selection boxes and just think about what we're eating. It's all about balance. We've talked about that before. We've asked registered dietitian Orla Walsh to come in and just give us some good information in what is good to put into our bodies. Orla Walsh, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you on. The starting point should probably talk about, I mean, restrictive eating, a diet, intermittent fasting, keto, these are all quite big around January. Can I just ask you about intermittent fasting? Because it was a big, big trend, let's say. What is your view of the idea of long gaps without eating?
So intermittent fasting is, you know, there is research behind it and the research is so interesting and more research is being done. However, one downside to it is muscle loss. So either you have to try intermittent fasting and try and reduce muscle loss or preserve your muscle while doing it, or you just need to stay away from it. And for a lot of people, intermittent fasting is simply just not a good idea. So if you have a history of disordered eating, if you're presently going through it, if you've osteoporosis, if you're an older person, and science is offensive now, older is like as young as 50. So, you know, intermittent fasting for a lot of people is just simply not a good idea. But for some people, it is beneficial. And for some people, you have to do it while really minding their muscle mass as closely as possible.
I think you've just put off a lot of people there in intermittent fasting when you said muscle loss, because you don't hear about that really or think about that when you talk about intermittent fasting.
Well, yeah, no, it is. And, you know, 2021 was a very interesting year, and 2020 with regards to the research that came out. And anyone who was looking at the research would immediately go muscle loss, muscle loss, muscle loss with all of them. And that's why you would never, ever, ever contemplate it with athletes. But like, who wants to lose muscle?
Nobody.
Apart from anything else, when we think muscle, we think our biceps or our triceps or our quads or, you know, our arms and legs. But really, most of our muscles internal, it's our heart, it's our diaphragm, which helps us breathe. It's our gut. Who wants to lose that muscle? Absolutely no one.
Interesting. Now, we were talking about veganism last week. Where do you stand on it as a source of nutrition?
It's a viewpoint. When we talk about healthy eating, we don't talk about cutting things out. So when it comes to veganism, people do that because of moral reasons. They do it because of love of animals or sustainability or all of these things. They wouldn't, you know, it's not, oh, I want to be healthy, therefore I'm going to follow something that involves excluding lots of foods. So, you know, there's a reason a small percentage of people do it, because in order to have to do it, you have to be very passionate on the topic, because it involves a lot of effort. And it's not just veganism, it's not just food, it's everything. It's saying no to leather and fur jackets and certain cosmetics, and, you know, even things that most people wouldn't consider, like wearing wool or using honey. So it's a lifestyle, and, you know, people have to be passionate about that in order to do it. So it's not something you dabble in. You know, people can eat more plants and, you know, follow a more plant-based diet without going the full whack and excluding all animal sources. So I suppose you have to really ask people, like, what are your reasonings for it? And, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of parents listening, and, you know, if your child comes to you and says, I want to be a vegan, like, if they, you know, you have to immediately worry that there's a reason why they want to cut out loads of foods if they're a young person. And, you know, is this a red flag that suggests that, you know, you have to keep your eyes out and look for signs for disordered eating? Or is this a true calling from every cell in their body? You know, so when it comes to veganism, question your motives always. But don't underestimate how hard it is and how passionate you have to be in order to do it and do it well.
Okay, good advice. So around this time of year, I mean, it's in every paper, it's everywhere, people are talking about it. I hear it in my friend group, you know, if they want to lose, you know, the extra few pounds that maybe they've put on over Christmas. Those who are looking to lose weight and to lose it safely, what should they think about to get started?
Well, firstly, just also take comfort from the fact that, you know, if you have noticed that the scales have gone up, that, you know, you're not talking about, just say you put on 7 pounds. That isn't necessarily 7 pounds of fat. So we could be storing more water, more salts, more carbohydrate, and that can be up to 7 pounds. So it can be just fluids and people can feel puffy, I guess, from eating more. But when they go back to their normal routine, their weight can resettle back down at their normal weight. I'd encourage people not to do anything drastic. So, you know, there's dieting is nearly never the answer. So I encourage people to be patient and be sensible. You shouldn't, you know, even if people are trying to lose fat tissue or excess fat tissue, you shouldn't aim to be hungry. You know, in fact, quite the opposite. You should aim to never be hungry, and therefore you'll have more control over your eating and be able to choose the healthier option more often.
You talk about this all the time, and I love to bring it up because you speak about it so well. But how important is it to vary your food intake?
Oh, it's a be all and end all. I think when people are trying to overhaul their diet, they would overhaul it much quicker and better and be nutritionally more complete if they focused on varying their diet. So we're devils for eating the same thing all the time, like just chicken and just beef, you know, you know, while there are other meats out there, or just part, you know, when it comes to the carbohydrates, you know, oats and wheat tend to be the dominant ones when there's lots of different grains. And even when it comes to our fruit and veg, and I'm a devil for it too, my fruit bowl is always the same. So I'd encourage people to vary as much as possible. The idea of getting at least 30 different plants a week is lovely. So vary the nuts, vary the seeds, vary the pulses, vary the fruit, the veg, the carbs, everything as much as possible. And then you'll be taking in a variety of different nutrients, because each food has a different array of special nutrients to offer you. So really eat a rainbow of foods and a rainbow of plants, and you will actually be nutritionally better off.
I am sometimes worried that my daughter's going to turn into a ham and cheese sandwich. How do I get around that? I mean, the school lunches can be a tricky one to vary, would you say?
Yeah. Oh, but kids, trying to vary a diet of kids. Oh my God. They are tricky, and they're like older people in that they like their routine. They like what they like. So I wouldn't put too much pressure on yourself. You know, when it comes to lunchbox, just kind of go, do I have a carbohydrate? Do I have a dairy? Do I have a protein? Do I have a fruit? Do I have a veg? You know, and send them off that way. And, you know, once you're hitting the markers, then try and vary it slowly. And, you know, just if they're old enough, you know, even from the age of 2, you can go, do you want this or this? So that they feel like that they have an element of control about what goes in. But you can tweak them ever so slightly.
Okay, good advice. I just got a text in. Are cheat days healthy, or is it better to have cheat meals, treats in moderation, etc.? Thanks, that's from Mary Ellen. What do you think about that?
So if you're cheating, you're in the wrong relationship. when it comes to foods, you know, our relationship with food is one of the most important relationships we have. And food loves you and you love food. So it's really important to work in that relationship. And some people will have a naturally wonderful relationship with food, and other people that have to try hard. But I would encourage people to work on the relationship with food. And if you are finding that you need to cheat, then it's not the right relationship for you. So what I would encourage people to do is just to take a more everything in moderation, including moderation approach.
Full fat milk is making a comeback. Would listeners be better off just drinking milk and eating eggs and taking supplements?
I detest what it's called full fat milk, because it suggests it's full of fat, and it isn't. It's like 3 grams, 3.5 grams per 100 mils. Like it's actually closer to being a low fat product naturally than being a high fat product. And, you know, the difference between low fat milk and regular milk isn't much. You put far more butter on your bread. So I don't understand why people go for the low fat stuff. And absolutely infuriates me when you go into the supermarket and you're talking about 9 out of 10 yogurts being low fat stuff. Mm-hmm. And you see the problem when they take out the delicious fat from food is that they have to replace the taste and they add in sugars or they add in artificial sweeteners. And, you know, I would prefer people just to eat things as they naturally came from the earth. And, you know, you're kidding yourself if you think full fat milk and low fat milk is going to make a difference. And the fat in milk and yogurt is actually quite good for us. And that's why, you know, milk and yogurt has been shown to reduce the risk of things like stroke and metabolic disease. So I'd encourage people to just enjoy the real deal. I know some people prefer the taste of low fat, but most of us prefer the regular milk, don't we?
We do. We absolutely do. I think you're right. And on that, and talk about protein, what about gym goers who are listening? What do you think of protein and whey and all that stuff?
Well, I actually think there's a place for it and I don't see the big problem. You know, people love to hate it, but really what whey is, it's protein found in milk. So, well, one of the proteins. So if you look at the proteins in milk or yogurt, 80% is casein, 20% is whey. So little Miss Muffet sat in her tub eating curds and whey. So she was eating casein and whey. Whey is the watery stuff that sometimes comes to the top of the yogurt. So they used to throw it away or give it to animals, but now they realize it's brilliant at stimulating the muscles to grow and repair. The problem with whey is the people who are taking it don't necessarily need it. The young people, it's desperately easy to stimulate their muscles to grow and repair. When you're an older person, it's actually harder. So whey and the likes of creatine should actually be used in nursing homes rather than young people in gyms. But it does no harm, and especially if you go for reputable black brands. So I would encourage people to look for the Inform Sport logo or on the website to make sure that they're getting a good supplement brand.
Okay, and last one, what would you tell listeners now, you know, to keep at the top of their minds this month just regarding their own nutrition?
Diets don't work. Removing foods from your diet and the foods that you miss, that's not a healthy approach. I'd encourage people to focus on adding healthy foods into their diet. Eat more fruit and veg, eat more healthy foods, and your whole diet will rebalance. So focus on adding things in rather than taking things out, and don't do something that leaves you hungry. No one is productive in life or happy when hungry, so avoid hunger.
Well said. Orla Walsh, thank you so much for being with us this morning. There we have it. And I think one thing we're all going to focus on after that is having a more varied diet this month. That's one thing I'll get on board with this January.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.